gave an alternative proposal. And a few hours ago, they released, the WTO released their draft agriculture agreement, which they say is a combination of the United States, the EU, and the G21 proposals.
Hmm.
And what I read about an hour ago on the internet is that the G21 is not happy with the draft at all. And they have tonight to write the final, and then they have until Sunday night to either agree or not. And from what I understand, no one in the Global South is happy about this agreement. They say that it's the United States and the EU are making very, very little concessions to the Global South. So it doesn't sound like it's going very well inside.
And so what is the overall plan or strategy, as far as you understand it, for the demonstrators in the next couple days?
Well, let me give you a couple of more updates. I got a little bit off track there because
okay.
there's just so much
yeah.
that I'm trying to give an overview. But today, some of the actions that took place today were really inspiring. Two of the main ones was another march to Kilometer Zero. Actually, let me go back. The march that took place a few days ago where Compañero Lee committed suicide, the fence was so destroyed that when they tried to repair it, they realized that they couldn't repair it, so they actually just moved the fence completely and got rid of it and reinforced the second fence, which was about 500 meters behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where you might have heard this phrase about we gained... first kilometer gained or whatever. I don't think it was actually a kilometer, but the idea is that we got the first fence out of the way, and now we're going to the second one. And so the march today had the purpose of breaking down that second fence. And again, I mean, this is all symbolic because behind that fence is another fence, and behind that fence is another fence. And, and like I said, that they have 20,000 military and law enforcement on hand. And so the idea that we're actually going to get to the convention center was kind of a moot point, but it... the symbolism of breaking down these walls of imperialism was very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And so the march of about 2,000 people marched to this fence, and it was a really, really amazing and beautiful creative action. Several dozen women, including indigenous women from Chiapas, pulled out bolt cutters and started cutting the fence down. And behind them was a row of men who were locking arms and protecting the women as they were using bolt cutters to cut the fence away.
Wow.
And several provocateurs, which we've been dealing with quite a bit in the last few days, several provocateurs tried to get through the men's line to get to the women and throw stones over their heads at the police.
Mm-hmm.
And every single provocateur was removed by this line of men that was protecting the women. And it was a really, really beautiful action. And the fence was cut away and totally destroyed. And there, like I said, were about 2,000 people that proceeded to celebrate breaking down this wall of imperialism and greed. And the police moved their line back once the fence was broken down. And the protesters didn't... try and approach the police line and go beyond them, but instead decided to celebrate their victory of breaking this wall down.
Mm-hmm.
And simultaneously while this was happening, a group of 10 Koreans had gone into the hotel zone via the airport and made it to the convention center. And like I had mentioned earlier, that there's these arch walkways that go over the street to get into the convention center.
Right.
And this group of Koreans... attacked one of the fences that was protecting this archway, and were immediately grabbed by the security and pulled to the side. And I was actually at this action trying to support the Koreans, and they were pretty quickly surrounded by all kinds of security and law enforcement. And I've never seen anything like this before. The dignity and the determination of these Korean representatives is just so inspiring.
Mm.
And, like, just nothing I've ever seen. They were circled completely by law enforcement and were screaming and chanting, "No to the WTO," and "Down with the WTO," and "Down with the WTO." And they would run and throw their bodies up against this line of police and get pushed back down. They would stand up, laugh, link arms, and run again, and throw their bodies up against this line of police. get knocked down, stand back up, laugh, link arms, and run again, and throw their bodies up against this line of police. And they did this. And one time they ran and threw their bodies up against these police, and then they would fall back down again. This next time they got up, ran, and just grabbed the hats. They grabbed the hats off of the police and then stepped back. And then the next time they ran up and grabbed their badges and stepped back. I mean, it was just this really amazing, amazing action. And in the end, like I said, the police boarded them up on buses and sent them out of the hotel room.
Wow.
I mean, that directly confrontational, and they still didn't arrest or deport. They just and the security that did this didn't even have batons or weapons.
Really?
They just had numbers. No, they didn't have any batons or weapons. They just had numbers. They surrounded them with so many numbers that they obviously couldn't. The Koreans couldn't get out of it, but they weren't going to shoot them or beat them. They were just gonna contain them, put them on buses, and send them on their way. I mean, that's basically their strategy: is to contain us and get us out of the hotel zone and keep us out of the hotel zone.
So it seems like a finely orchestrated plan to keep media attention or anything dramatic from being able to happen.
Right, right. And what I had done is they asked for internationals to come in and support them in this action, and so myself and another woman went in to support them, and our bags were searched coming in, and they didn't see my Zapatista bandana, and they didn't see the banner that my compañero was carrying. So we got through the security checkpoints, we got in, and as they were harassing the Koreans and encircling them, we pulled out a banner that said, "We are everywhere," and held it. And an Indian delegate saw us and ran behind our banner between the two of us and asked his friend to take a picture of him, which I just thought was really sweet.
Wow.
But the police immediately found me and my compañero holding the banner and grabbed the banner, and we struggled with him to keep the banner, and they pulled the banner away, and we said, "What, are words illegal in Mexico?" And he said, "Yes." So, and I said, "Are words illegal in Mexico? Is there a law against words?" And he said, "Yes."
Wow.
And, I mean, that's really the strategy, too, is they don't want words, they don't want banners, they don't want chants. Another action that had taken place yesterday, where I said that funeral street theater piece, they said that we could sing, but we couldn't chant. You know, it's like, they're very controlling. I mean, they want to control what the media is saying, they want to control what the messages are. And they don't want a bunch of pictures of confrontations on a violent scale. Although there have been, I don't mean to downplay that, there are people that have been injured, there's black eyes, there's bleeding heads, people have been hit with batons, and one man had his skull cracked open, and there's definitely been injuries, but nothing minor. I mean, major.
Right.
Nothing major.
One further question that I have for you is about the Zapatistas, and they, you know, did do a call to action for civil society to represent at these protests, and then they said they would announce in the future, you know, about what their role was going to be, and I wonder what kind of presence have they had, and you know, what's their role been?
They like I said, there was a campesino forum that took place Monday and Tuesday. And on Tuesday, and then the big march was on Wednesday after their forum. And on, I think it was Tuesday night, a recorded message from Comandante Esther Comandante Marcos and Comandante David. All three of them gave separate addresses and were recorded and played at the campesinos. And I haven't heard them or read them yet. But I have heard from several of the campesinos that it was a very encouraging and inspiring and enlivening address. And the EZLN, the Zapatista Army, has now made a presence here. There have been quite a lot of Zapatista supporters here with EZLN clothing or bandanas, but there hasn't been any large EZLN like contingent or presence here. But I have heard a lot of words coming out of Chiapas and out of the EZLN supporting the actions here and asking people to be brave and strong and militant in their actions. But they haven't had a physical presence here. Yeah, and again, there have been a lot of indigenous people here, and you know,
sure.
I don't know. I don't know. I assume that some of them are Zapatistas.
Sure. Yeah. And so with the indigenous Mayans, and with also the Mexican campesinos and the Koreans making a big presence, what to have a really...
So that, you know, those are the main ones have been the indigenous, the campesinos, the Koreans, students, anarchists, internationals, and NGOs, which I would kind of clump together, the NGO and internationals. There was a huge bus caravan that came from Mexico City, and the majority of them were students, and they played a big role in this. And there are a lot of international, I mean, there's people here from all over the world. There's also quite a large group from Africa,
mm-hmm.
and there's a large group from Venezuela, and there's Canadians, there's a large group of Italians here, which has really been great to work with. So, yeah, I think those are probably the main groups that are visibly present.
Well, thank you so much. This has been an incredible offering to make from the streets of Cancun to the world. And I wonder if there's any other, you know, last message you feel like the corporate media is not going to relay that you'd like to say and offer that up.
I did want to just say one thing. I got a chance to interact with a couple of people that I just wanted to share because I thought it was really inspiring. One was during the funeral theater piece in the hotel zone, there was a delegate taking pictures, and I approached him and asked where he was from, and he was from Portugal,
mm-hmm.
Which is a member of the European Union, and I said, well, what do you think of all this? And he said, all what? And I said, all of it. And he said, I am completely with you 100%. And
wow.
He had the biggest smile on his face as he continued to take pictures of us and walk away.
Hmm.
And then I ran into three women from Asia, and I apologize, I forget what country they were from, because it was kind of an intense moment, but I spoke with them briefly and asked what they thought of everything that was going on, and they referred to an action that had happened in the opening ceremonies when the Director General of the WTO was trying to make his opening address, and some NGOs disrupted the meeting and actually disrupted him for 40 minutes
wow.
while he was trying to speak, and held banners and chanted, and these three women delegates from Asia referred to that and said, well, only problem with this protest is that the signs weren't big enough, which I thought was really neat. And then the two other things is I got to hear a group of Africans speak about their position and experience here with the WTO and some of the struggles they're facing in Africa, and they had really inspiring words of solidarity, saying that you know, in the 4 years since Seattle, the solidarity that's being built in the Global South is stronger and stronger
mm-hmm.
every day, and they felt very confident that these meetings were not going to be successful for the Global North, but they were going to be successful for the Global South and continuing the struggle.
Wow.
And then the other one that I went, I got to hear a delegate from Venezuela speak last night, and he was very eloquent and powerful and inspiring, and talked about a little bit about the constitutional changes that Hugo Chavez had made when he took office, and that some of the changes that were made to the Constitution fundamentally made the negotiations with the WTO moot for Venezuela, because their Constitution protects indigenous rights so much that biropiracy is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And so any negotiations around biropiracy is something that Venezuela won't even negotiate on, and they will not negotiate on the privatization of public services or the trade liberalization of public services, because they just won't allow it, period. And they also said that they're getting some criticism about, okay, if you're so anti-WTO, then why are you still here? Why are you in these meetings? Why don't you just walk away forever? And he gave two reasons for that. He said one was that the alliances that they're building on the inside between the Global South or within the Global South is stronger than anything they could do outside of the WTO.
Huh.
That because the WTO is going to continue on some level in some form, they choose to participate and build that strength of defense within.
Uh-huh.
And the other reason is he said that they want to be able to go in and listen to what is going on in these meetings and bring that message to the rest of the world and let the rest of the world understand what they're trying to do
mm-hmm.
inside. And what he called they're negotiating and creating a global capital constitution. Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And they want the world to understand what this Constitution is doing to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of excitement. And I think something else that's been really neat is the go-between the inside and the outside. There's been quite a lot of sharing of information and ideas and materials between people on the inside and people on the outside, and I've never experienced this type of global solidarity before. And you know, I was in Seattle 4 years ago, and so I think my level of experience has just skyrocketed in the last few days in understanding what global solidarity means. You know, standing next to Koreans who are mourning the loss of their compañero who committed suicide on behalf of all people. You know, and that's another thing, a phrase that's being used every day, every hour, is todos somos Li, todos somos Li, we're all Li.
Mm.
And, you know, that comes from the Zapatistas, todos somos Zapatistas.
Right.
Well, we're all Li, you know, we're all suffering from the system, and we all must act on behalf of the system. And he didn't die for himself, you know, he died for the farmers of South Korea, and he died for the farmers of Mexico and Africa and all over the world. He died for people that are victims of the system, and he did it to symbolize the need for action, that we need to do something, and people are rallying around that, and it's a really, really beautiful thing.
Wow, well, thank you again. It's a tremendous offering for you to be able to share these stories, these words. It's a powerful thing to pass on to the rest of the world, and we will try to distribute it far and wide. So thank you again. And with that, I'm going to turn off this recorder.